The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Croner from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. If you would have any questions or would like to become a sponsor of this program, please contact our office at 919-832-5138. Okay, we left off last time. We were basically talking about life's miracles and little miracles that occurred. And we talked about the little mermaid, the little girl who sent a mermaid balloon and was found at Lake Mermaid as it was sent to her father, and the people responded. So let's go ahead and do the magic key. Reader Miracle. The year was 1956. My first husband and I and our nine-month-old baby, Pam, moved from St. Louis to Fort Worth, Texas. He had a job there, and his family lived close by as well. We found a lovely apartment and settled in quickly. One chilly morning, I headed for the laundromat. I turned on the engine of our 1953 Chevy to warm up the car and put Pam in her car seat, which back then was in the front seat. I locked the car door, then I put the basket of laundry in the back seat and locked the other door. Suddenly, I realized I had locked the keys and my baby in the car and locked myself out. I immediately went into panic mode. My neighbors both had gone to work, and there were no cell phones back then. As I looked up the street, I saw a red Ford pickup driving toward me. The driver stopped when he saw me crying and waving my hands. The man on the passenger side of the truck got out and said, "I have a car just like this one. Let me see if my key will open the door." It did. I have told so many people that God was the passenger in a red Ford pickup in October 1956. Evelyn Payne, Kabunabuckport, Maine. And there's a picture of Evelyn and her daughter, Pam. Pam looks like she's probably about 10 months old, baby. Life-giving touch. On March 25, 2010, Kane and Donald Ogg heard the words every parent dreads. Their newborn wasn't going to make it. Their twins, a girl and a boy, were born 2 minutes apart and 14 weeks premature, weighing just over 2 pounds each. Doctors had tried to save the boy for 20 minutes, but saw no improvement. His heartbeat was nearly gone, and he stopped breathing. The baby had just moments to live. I saw him gasp. But the doctor said it was no use, Kate told the Daily Mail 5 years later. I know it sounds stupid, but if he was still gasping, that was a sign of life. I wasn't going to give up that easily. Still, the Sydney couple knew that this was likely goodbye. In an effort to cherish their last minutes with the tiny boy, Kate asked to hold him. I wanted to meet him, for him to know us, Kate said to told Today. We resigned ourselves to the fact that we were going to lose him, and we were just trying to make the most of those last precious moments. Kate unwrapped the boy, whom the couple had already named Jamie, and from his hospital blanket and ordered David to take his shirt off and join them in bed. The first time parents wanted their son to be as warm as possible, and hoped the skin-to-skin contact would improve his condition. They also talked to him. We were trying to entice him to stay, Kate told the Daily Mail. We explained his name and that he had a twin that he had to look out for, and how hard it was we had tried to have him. Then something miraculous happened. Jamie gasped again, and then he started breathing. Finally, he reached for his father's finger. The couple's lost boy had made it. We're the luckiest people in the world, David told Today. 8 years later, Jamie and his sister Emily are happy and healthy. The Oggs only recently told the kids the story of their birth. Emily burst into tears, Kate said. She was really upset, and she kept hugging Jamie. The whole experience makes you cherish them more. And there's a picture of Jamie and his sister Emily. And Emily has her face painted with a big butterfly around her eyes and a big smile on her face. And Jamie is a tow-headed blonde boy with a cute smile. And their mom is right behind them smiling. And Emily has pigtails, too. Photo from heaven. Another reader miracle. My daughter and only child, Talina, was killed by a drug driver in 1994. It nearly destroyed me, but I kept going somehow. I had a favorite picture of Talina from when she was about three, Christmas Day, me sitting on the floor and her sitting on my lap. The bond between us was so beautiful, somehow, I lost that picture after she died. A few years later, on Christmas Day, I opened a book and found the photo inside. I know that she sent it to me as a present from heaven. Dale Vickery, Oranger Park, Florida, and there's a picture of Dale with her and her daughter at Christmas. Her daughter is wearing a little blue outfit, cute little blonde girl. The Christmas Cassette. Reader Miracle. In June 2003, I buried my 26-year-old son. The following Christmas was the worst of my life. I was consumed with grief to my very core. As I woke early Christmas morning, I decided to write a few Christmas cards, belated or not. I went to the drawer where I stored the box cards. The drawer would open only slightly. Something was jamming it. The cause of the jam was an unlabeled cassette. I had no idea what was on it or how it had gotten there. I popped the cassette in the player and waited to hear whatever mystery it held. Soon I heard my own voice. In a whisper I say, "It's Christmas morning and Kyle is still sleeping." Kyle awakens and sleepily comes to the realization that he gets to check the tree. His childish voice goes on to name his toys from Santa. The last words on the tape are both heartfelt and heartbreaking. They are 3-year-old Kyle saying, "Merry Christmas, Mom. I know my son made this Christmas miracle happen so I could have a smile in my heart that morning." Connie Owen, South Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And there's a picture of Connie with his brother Trevor and himself in the center with his mother Connie. Laugh Lines. I hate freeloaders who join in the New Year's countdown for the last 10 seconds. I've been doing this all year. Where were you back in May? Call me crazy, but dropping the ball does not sound like a good way to start off a new year. I don't know who's worse, the people who sign their cats' names on their Christmas cards or the cats who refuse to sign instead. It's way too early for Christmas music. People in the year 75 B.C. The Hanukkah miracle is that the menorah oil lasted 8 extra days. I recreate this miracle with every tub of toothpaste. Tube of toothpaste. Sorry about that. All those who received a book from me as a Christmas present, they are due back at the library tomorrow. Okay, now this next section is kind of cute. The best made-up words ever. Universe, Y-O-U-N-I-V-E-R-S-E. The immediate environment of the terminal narcissist. When I use a word, Humpty Dumpty said in a rather scornful tone, it means just what I choose it to mean. Neither more nor less, from through the looking glass. I agree with Mr. Dumpty. Words have meaning, but surely we can seize upon a meaning and then create a word to match it. The following words, some called from the crowdsource online dictionary, urbandictionary.com, and others I've concocted myself, don't exist, according to Merriam-Webster, but should call them word files? A. Acapella. Sung badly while listening to music wearing headphones. Athletargy, A-T-H-L-E-T-H-A-R-G-Y. Athletargy, the triumph of the lazy boy over the stairmaster. Afterclapper, the last person to clap after everyone else has stopped clapping. Baseball, the endless litany of RBIs, ERAs, OPSs, WHIP, and hits at the fingertip of every Major League baseball. Beer board, to extract secret information from colleagues by getting them drunk. Blame storming, the art of attempting to identify the person who is most at fault in a plan's failure. C. Carcolepsy, the tendency to fall asleep as soon as the car starts moving. Caroma, the smell of that month-old bean burrito under the front seat that keeps you out of the carpool. Selfish, C-E-L-L-F-I-S-H, someone who talks on the phone to the exclusion of those he or she is with. Chairdrobe, a chair in which one piles clothes that belong in the closet, not to be confused with a floor robe. Chip tees, a bag of potato chips that seems full, but is mostly air. D. Destinesia, when you get to where you intended to go but forgot why you wanted to go there. Gee, I know how that feels. Dudevorce, when two bros end a friendship. Dilemma, D-U-L-L-E-M-A, the choice between two equally boring outcomes. E. epiphanaut, an idea that seems like an amazing insight to the conceiver, but is in fact pointless, mundane, stupid, or incorrect. Errorist, someone who's repeatedly or invariably wrong. Faux-pology, an insincere expression of regret. Alliteration, the mistaken impression that you know more about rhetorical devices than you really do. Internest, the cocoon of blankets and pillows you gather around yourself for extended periods on the internet. M, metox, take a break from self-absorption. N, narcissexual, someone attracted only to him or herself. Nerdjacking, feeling a conversation with unnecessary detail about one's passion in an obviously uninterested bystander. Non-inversation, a completely meaningless or useless conversation. P, pregret, to know what you're about to do is wrong, 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 while also knowing you will do it anyway. Prestitute, a biased or one-sided journalist. Pretentious, a level of drama achieved only by a 12-year-old. S, synergy, S-I-N-E-R-G-Y, when two bad acts feel good as three. Sacrifice, doing what you absolutely must do, even though you really, really, really hate it. T, textpectation, the anticipation felt while awaiting a response to a text. Typerventilate, to send the messages in rapid sequence. Unlighten, to learn something that makes you dumber. And that is it. He apparently didn't do X, Y, Z. Ladies and gentlemen, please fasten your hula hoops. To help launch their new product in 1958, executives from the Wham-O company started carrying early versions of the hula hoop on the airplane trips with them, hoping the passengers would ask them about the odd toy. It worked. Americans bought more than 20 million hula hoops in 6 months. Humor in uniform. There's a bunch of troops are decorating a Christmas tree and with lights and everything, in the middle of the desert, and one of them says to the other, three wise men just radioed in to say that the enemy can now see us. At the outpost surgery center where I work, the anesthesiologist chats with patients before their operations to help them relax. One day, he thought he recognized a woman as a co-worker from the VA hospital where he had trained. When the patient confirmed that his hunch was correct, the anesthesiologist said, so tell me, is the food there still as bad as it used to be? I suppose, she replied, I'm still the one cooking it. Our home number is very close to the one at Fort Leonard Wood in Missouri, and we often get calls meant for them, like this one. Caller, this is military rank and name. I'm at the St. Louis airport. When is someone going to pick me up? I'm sorry, you have the wrong number. Isn't this the, and he recites the number. Close, but we're hundreds of miles away from the airport. Caller, after a pause. So you don't know who's going to pick me up? The Magic Trick That Changed My Life by Nate Sandiforth. First Person Reports. And there's a picture of a young man on a deck of cards with cards scattered over the place, and a picture of a king, and he's sitting in the middle. And the magic and illusion of Nick Sandiforth. I became a magician by accident. When I was 9 years old, I learned how to make a coin disappear. I read The Lord of the Rings and ventured into the adult section of the library to search for a book of spells, 9 being that curious age at which you're old enough to work through more than 1,200 pages of arcane fantasy litter, but young enough to still hold out hope that you might find a book of real, actual magic in the library. The book I found instead taught me basic sleight-of-hand technique, and I dedicated the next months to practice. At first, the magic wasn't any good. At first, it wasn't even magic. It was a trick, a bad trick. I spent hours each day in the bathroom, running through the secret moves in front of the mirror. I dropped the coin over and over, 1,000 times a day. And after 2 weeks of this, my mom got a carpet sample from the hardware store and placed it under the mirror to muffle the sound of the coin falling again and again. I had heard my dad work through passages of new music on the piano, so I knew how to practice, slowly, deliberately going for precision rather than speed. One day I tried the illusion in the mirror and the coin vanished. It did not look like a magic trick. It looked like a miracle. One of the lessons you learn very early on as a magician is that the most amazing part of the trick has nothing to do with the secret. The secret is simple and often dull. A hidden piece of tape, a small mirror, a duplicate playing card. In this case, the secret was a series of covert maneuvers to hide the coin behind my hand in the act of opening it. A dance of the fingers that I learned to so completely, I didn't even have to think. I would close my hand, then open it, and the coin would vanish. Not by skill, but by real magic. One day, I made the coin vanish on the playground. We had been playing football and were standing by the backstop in the field behind the school. A dozen people were watching. I showed the coin to everyone. Then it disappeared. The kids screamed. They yelled, laughed, scrambled away. Everyone went crazy. This was great. This was Bilbo Baggins from The Lord of the Rings terrifying the guests at his birthday party by putting on the one ring on his finger and vanishing. The teacher on duty crossed the playground to investigate. Mrs. Tanner was a wiry, vengeful woman who dominated her classroom with an appetite for humiliation and an oversized plastic golf club she wielded like a weapon, slamming it down on the desk of the unruly and uncommitted. She marched toward me and demanded to know what was going on. The coin vanished for her, too. "Do it again," she said, and I did. I'm sure my hands were shaking, but when I looked up, everything had changed. I remember the look on her face, the look of wide-eyed, open-mouthed wonder forever. Two certainties. First, this was clearly the greatest thing in the world. I kept seeing my teacher's face, the stern, authoritarian facade, melting into shock, fear, elation, and joy. All at once. The kids, too. My classmates had been transformed for a moment from vaguely indifferent, vaguely hostile pack of scavengers and carnivores into real people. If you could make people feel like this, why wouldn't you do it all the time? Why wouldn't everyone do this? For anyone, but especially for a 9-year-old boy at a new school, that transformation is almost indistinguishable from real magic. The second certainty was harder to reconcile. The more I thought about it, the stranger it became, and even now it intrigues me as much as it did that day on the playground. Here it is, all of it, the chaos, the shouting, the wide-eyed wonder came from a coin trick. I knew this was just a trick, and I was just a kid, but the reactions of the students and the teachers were so much greater than the sum of those modest parts that I didn't know how to explain them. Something incredible had happened. I might have caused it, but it had not come from me. I had inadvertently tapped into something visceral and wild. The teacher's face, the shouts of fear, astonishment, and joy. The joy was the hardest to explain. Surprise comes easy, but joy never does. I was an alchemist who had somehow, unknowingly, unintentionally, discovered how to turn lead into gold. Even a 9-year-old knows that this is impossible. You can only do that with real magic. The gulf between wanting to become a great magician and actually doing it is enormous, however, and the career of a young magician is marked by as much by humiliation and public failure as it is by the occasional success. In high school, I staged a show in the auditorium, and my entire world came out to watch. 600 friends, family members, girls from school, and everyone I wanted to defy or impress. They all looked on in horror, fascination, and pity as I twirled about the stage, frantically trying to remember every bit of choreography from every David Copperfield special I had ever seen. The audience sat mute, aghast, enduring the spectacle of waiting for the catastrophe to end. A few years later, I staged a Harry Houdini-style underwater escape in the river that flowed through the middle of campus in the University of Iowa, where I went to school. I stood on a boat in the middle of the river, wearing nothing but biking shorts and a thick set of chains, padlocks and weights around my wrists and ankles. The sky was dead and gray, and the water was dead and gray, and frigid breeze blew across the surface. I delayed this stunt by 2 weeks because the river was frozen. Now the ice had cleared and spring had come reluctantly, but the water was still only 52 degrees off the surface and colder in the depths below. Technically, I succeeded. I jumped into the water, sank to the bottom, and escaped from the locks and chains before swimming to the surface. But it didn't feel like success. When Houdini hit it, thousands of people turned up to watch. I had about a dozen who stopped on their way to class, and the police showed up because someone thought it was a suicide attempt. I am living proof, though, that if you throw enough time and effort into something, maybe even anything, you can become good at it. I found inspiration in a quote attributed to Houdini. The real secret to my success is simple. I work from 7 in the morning to midnight, and I like it. This quote lives on as a scrap of paper stuck to the wall on my bed for 10 years. I had hit Madam Gladwell's 10,000 hours of dedicated practice by the time I turned 22, and he's right. I got pretty good. The week after I finished school, I drove to Los Angeles to begin my career as a professional magician. I have never held another job. For years, I have traveled the country performing. Every crowd is different. Sometimes you have to charm them or cajole them. Other times you have to entice or fascinate. And sometimes you have to roll up your sleeves and fight, winning the room with a careful blend of intensity and goodwill, convincing the audience that you're either a genius or a madman, and that either way, they should probably stop and listen. Tonight, my arrival on stage at a college in Chicago was met with a minimum of applause and disdain, the audience being equal parts people who came to see the magic show and people who came to drink. One 6-foot, 250-pound bruiser with a crew cut started booing even before they finished my introduction. Now I'm standing on a table, his table, in the basement of the student union. Listen, I say, scanning the room. In a minute you are going to see something impossible. Some of you are going to scream. Some of you are going to yell. This gentleman right here is going to soil himself. Crewcut is looking at me like he wants to fight. But I am pinned in the seat with the gaze of 300 people who are finally paying attention. For the moment, he can only glower. I'm not doing this for the money. I'm not doing this for the glory. If I were, I sure wouldn't be here. I'm here because I spent my entire life learning to do something incredible. Tonight I'm going to share it with you. When I'm done, you can clap, you can boo, you can stay, you can leave. I don't care. This succeeds in shocking them. Now the entire room has turned to watch. I'm going to give this gentleman my wallet, I say. I'm choosing him because he's the biggest guy here, and I need someone to keep the wallet safe. I look down at Crewcut. What's your name? He looks at me like he wishes he'd gone somewhere else this evening. Marcus. I hand him my wallet. Marcus, I want you to put this on the table and put both hands on top of it. Don't open it yet, but make sure that no one else opens it either. Got it? Marcus nods. I know if this works, he will remember this experience for the rest of his life. He will tell his children about the moment. I spent 6 years developing this illusion, and it has been worth the effort. If I had 5 minutes to justify my entire existence as a magician, this is what I would perform. I turn to the rest of the room. I'm going to need 6 random people to help. If I just ask for volunteers, you might think I had Confederates in the audience. So I'm going to take this gentleman's hat, and here I reach down and snatch a baseball cap from someone's head, and throw it out into the room. If you catch it, stand up. 30 seconds later, 6 people were standing, and the man has his hat back. I need each of you to think of a number between 1 and 50. When I point to you, call your number out loud so everyone can hear. 16. 32. 9. 43. 11. I pause before the last person, a girl standing in the back of the room. When the hat flew toward her a minute ago, she jumped up to catch it. What's your name? Jessica. Jessica, before you tell me your number, I just want to say this. When you go home tonight, you are going to be unable to sleep. You're going to lie in bed, staring at the ceiling, driving yourself crazy, wondering what would have happened if you had named a number other than the number you were about to name. The audience laughs. Jessica just listens. Before you give me your number, I want you to know in your heart of hearts that it was a free choice, that there is no way I could have gotten inside your head to make you give me the number I wanted, right? She nods slowly. What number are you thinking of? 14. Every great illusion has a moment of calm before the build to the end, and right now the room is completely quiet. At some point, the bartender had started watching and turned off the music. Everyone is still. I want to point out that the odds of this working by chance alone are in the trillions. What are the numbers again? 16, 32, 9, 43, 11, and 14, right? Marcus has been sitting at the table the entire time, holding the wallet and watching the performance. I point to the wallet. Marcus, could you stand up for a second? He stands, and I ask him to hold the wallet up above his head so everyone can see it, and he does. You have been holding my wallet the entire time. Open it and look inside. You should find a lottery ticket. Take it out. Marcus opens the wallet and removes the lottery ticket. This isn't a winning ticket. I'm not a millionaire. But I want you to look at the numbers. I'm going to hand you the microphone. Read them out loud. I'm watching his face now, waiting for him to see it. Oh, he says quietly. Oh, no. He looks at me. His eyes are very wide. He looks back at the lottery ticket. Read the numbers, Marcus. Marcus raises the microphone. 16, 32, 9, 43, 11, and 14. The room explodes. People are on their feet, screaming and jumping and turning to one another. Someone runs for the exit, knocking over a table. Jessica has her hands on her face, her mouth open. Marcus has dropped the microphone. He is reading the ticket over and over again, shaking his head and laughing. I want you to see his face. I want you to see the joy, the open, unaffected joy. It's the kind of joy that reminds you for a moment that when the weight of worry, of pain, of anxiety of the world has gone, the face that shines without it is extraordinary. Magicians get to see people at their very best. And in this transformation, you can see through the illusion what you can only be described as real, actual magic. And with that magic, we're going to switch over to Consumer Reports and what we're testing in our labs. In our 63 labs, we continue to review to rate products. Here are timely picks for this month. Space heaters. We tested 25 small portable models. We test for effectiveness to heat an individual as well as a standard-sized room in 15 minutes. Fire safety, ease of use, noise, and more. The best overall was the Vornado VMH 600 for $150. The quickly warms a room was the Comfort Zone CZ499R at $70. And the bargain buy was the Honeywell HCE311V at $40. Smart thermostats. We tested 14 models. We test for ease of operation, wireless setup, smart features, and automated heating and cooling and more. The head of the class was the Nest Learning Thermostat, which is $250. Smart with a sleek display, Schneider Electric, Wiser Air, 10 BLKUS, $250. And easy manual controls, the Honeywell Link, $150. What are the benefits of smart thermostats versus the kind that have been around forever? Wi-Fi connected smart thermostats can be controlled through an app on your smartphone, which means you can dictate temperatures remotely, either on your way home from work or on your way out for your weekend cabin in the woods. Some can also work with digital assistants, such as Alexa, says Peter Anazone, who tests thermostats for CR. Others, including the Nest and the Honeywell models above, offer geofencing, meaning they know when you're home or not and adjust the temperature accordingly. The Nest and Schneider models shown can even learn your temperature preferences and keep adjusting to them. What's more, according to Energy Star, you can save up to $50 per year on your energy bill thanks to these efficiencies. Continuing with these test items, Greek yogurt. We tested 22 products. We test for flavor and texture. We also evaluate nutrition based on calories per gram, fats, sodium, sugars, iron, calcium, and more per serving. Whole milk winner, Dan and Oikos Plain Whole Milk Greek Yogurt, $5 for 32 ounce. Tasty 2% fat, Phage Total Plan 2% fat Greek yogurt, $7 for 35.3 ounces. Nice for non-fat, Kirkland Signature Costco Plain Non-Fat Greek Yogurt, $6 for a 2-pack of 32-ounce containers. Tablets. We tested 32 models, 9 inches or larger. We test for quality of the screen and performance, including the speed of actions and visual smoothness, ease of use, battery life, and more. The largest screen, Apple iPad Pro 12.9-inch screen, $800. Light and easy, Samsung Galaxy Tab S4, $650. Long battery life for less. Amazon Fire HD. 10-inch screen, $150. Laundry detergents for sensitive skin. We tested 10 models that claim no dyes or perfumes. We test for how well a detergent removes body oil, dirt, grass, and other stains, such as blood, wine, and tea. Tough on dirt. Persil Pro Clean Power Liquid Sensitive Skin. 23 cents an ounce. Great value, good results. Kirkland Signature, Costco. Ultra Clean, Free and Clear. 11 cents an ounce. Best performing packs. Almighty Packs, Oxy Free and Clear. 28 cents an ounce. Front-loading washing machines. We tested 51 front-loader models. We test for how well a model's normal cycle cleans fabrics in a load of mixed cotton items, energy, water efficiency, and more. Reliable at a great price. The LG WM3500, $810. Compact cleaner. Miele for $1,800. Ooh, that's expensive. And large capacity for less is the Kenmore Elite, $950. I like to watch TV in bed at night, but the screen is so bright it keeps my husband awake. This is Ask Our Experts. If your TV is lighting up your bedroom like a football stadium, you might be tempted to fiddle with the brightness setting, but don't. For LCD or LED TVs, the backlight setting is the one to adjust, says Claudio Classis, CR's lead TV tester. Lowering the backlight helps reduce the bright glow at night, while still looking acceptable in daytime. On OLED TVs, search for an OLED light or panel brightness setting. Some newer TVs also have an auto-sensing brightness control option that, when turned on, adjusts to the room lighting. But that feature is more about energy savings and can lead to unpredictable and subpar results, Chiachi says. At cr.org/TV Screen Optimizer, members can sign in to use our TV Screen Optimizer to find other setting recommendations for individual models. Our testers tinker with tons of settings to find out which comes to make a specific TV model look its best in a dimmer environment, as well as a daytime viewing. Is it safe for seniors to get a flu shot? It's not only safe, but also especially important for seniors, because that's the age group, along with children under 5, most vulnerable to serious complications if the flu is contracted. In fact, if you're 65 or older, you have two options beyond the standard flu shot that are formulated and approved only for older adults in order to provide additional protection. One, Fluzone High Dose contains 4 times the antigen, the part of the vaccine that helps your body build up a protection against the viruses, as the standard shot. The other, Fluad, has the same amount of antigen as the regular flu shot, but contains an additional substance called an adjuvant that boosts the body's immune response to the vaccine. Though the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention don't prefer either option over the standard flu shot, recent studies suggest they may be more effective for older people, whose immune systems need a boost, says William Schaefer, M.D., a professor of preventive medicine and infectious diseases at Vanderbilt University School of Medicine in Nashville. Both may be available at your local pharmacy or at your doctor's office. Call ahead to be sure. Last, if you haven't gotten any shot yet, remember that it's not too late because flu season can run through March or even later. My car's key fob is getting balky on me. What's going on? There are some simple reasons why your key fob may be uncooperative. When left at the bottom of your purse or buried in your briefcase, the fob single can be obstructed by other objects. Some vehicles have a proximity system that lets the driver unlock the car simply by touching the door handle. I have one of those. But a buildup of winter grime on the handle can also affect how well the key interacts with the sensors. So keep your door handles clean. If none of that does the trick, the trouble may be with the device's battery. Over time, it typically, after a year or two, the battery may weaken for a variety of results, says John Ibbotson, chief mechanic at CR's Auto Test Center. Some manufacturers caution that keeping your key too close to your mobile phone could potentially drain the fob's battery. And don't leave your key fob in the car or even hanging within a few feet of it. When parked for long periods of time, say overnight in your garage, the key will continue to communicate with the car, which may drain the fob's battery and compromise its functionality. If your battery becomes so weak that the car isn't detecting it at all, there's no need to buy a whole new fob, which can cost hundreds of dollars. You can use or replace the battery inside for just a few dollars. Check your owner's manual for do-it-yourself instructions on how to replace it. To tide you over, be aware that many fobs have a keyblade tucked inside the device that can manually unlock the doors. CR Insights. Alexa in your car. Amazon has already installed its popular Alexa digital voice activation in everything from light bulbs to microwaves. Now Alexa can join you behind the wheel. You'll find it in newer models, including ones from BMW, Genesis, Mercedes-Benz, Nissan, and Toyota. Drivers who have Alexa in their cars and at home can have a two-way conversation from car to home, or from home to car. For instance, while wolfing down breakfast in your kitchen, you can ask Alexa to start smart speaker how much gas is in your tank, or instruct it to remotely start the car. In some cars, the 2019 Lexus ES sedan and many other newer Fords, you can also connect to your smart home devices to adjust your home thermostat, turn on the lights or music, and open the garage door with voice commands. Plus, you can get directions, make phone calls, and stream media. If your car doesn't have Alexa built in, you'll soon be able to get the Echo Auto, which plugs into an auxiliary port and uses your phone. Bluetooth connection. Sitting on your dash, the Echo Auto will also respond to voice commands, just like a built-in Alexa system, though it does lack some features such as remote start and fuel level reports. Be aware of the trade-offs. Having Alexa in your car uses your phone's data connection, which could drive up your phone bill, and you'll need to grant Amazon permission to know your whereabouts. Tested cars with Alexa built-in. The 2019 Toyota Avalon scored very high. The 2019 Lexus ES sedan got a fairly high score. And the 2018 Ford EcoSport got a mediocre score. Food Sleuth. Good for you, grilled cheese. Warm, gooey grilled cheese sandwiches are an American classic and a popular comfort food during colder months. But thanks to the butter and cheese, grilled cheese is a delivery system for fat and calories, especially if you order out. Panera's four-cheese grilled cheese, for example, has 28 grams of fat and 630 calories. Happily, at home, there are easy ways to reduce calories and pump up the nutrition without losing the flavor you're craving, says Claudia Gale, CR Food tester and professional chef. Try these nutritional tweaks from our test kitchen to create a healthier grilled cheese that will still hit the spot. Go for grains. White breads are much less nutritious than their whole grain or whole wheat counterparts. Look for breads labeled 100% whole wheat or choose USDA organic and avoid artificial ingredients. Use a flavorful cheese. If you pick a cheese with a strong flavor, you can get by with less. One slice of, say, pepper jack cheese instead of two will save you half the calories and fat. Or to cut down on sodium, opt for a low-sodium cheese such as Swiss, like we put in our sandwich to the right and have a picture of a grilled cheese sandwich. Power it up with produce. Layer in leafy greens such as Swiss chard and adds a fiber, magnesium, and potassium as well as vitamins A, C, and K. Toast instead of fry. A tablespoon of butter has 100 calories and 11 grams of fat, but you can still get a crunch without it. Top one slice of bread with cheese, then toast both sides of the sandwich in a toaster oven. Our choice, the Breville Box Toaster Oven. Add a healthy side. Get a crunch without the calories, fat, and sodium of chips. Try a side of wire fruits or veggies, such as slices of bell pepper, cucumber, or apples. And then they have Consumer Reports Time Traveler for Fitness. In 1956, we test 29 brands of children's sneakers for durability by giving them to active boys and girls. After weeks of tree climbing, hiking, and playground sports, we evaluate the damage to soles and uppers. In 1958, in a special section on diet and weight loss, we discourage readers from using Relaxizer. A low-voltage electrical apparatus promising to reduce growth with no effort. 1975, we test 52 kids' bicycles for safety, handling, and more. Two Schwinn models come out on top. Our testers also tell readers to tie the check for misaligned frames, hold the bike by the rear seat, and walk briskly forward. If it has a turning bias to one side, don't buy it. 1978. The wooden Davis Imperial Below is one of the most popular rackets in the U.S., but new graphites do better in our test, with a Tony Trabert C5 earning the highest overall core. That's interesting. I had a Davis, wooden Davis, and replaced it with a fiber thing. 1985. Consumers spent more than $1 billion on home exercise equipment from 1984 to 1985, and many are now buying rowing machines. In our testing, we say the best are effective but expensive. 1998. Elliptical exercises are the latest entry in the home exercise scene. The two we test, among the first on the market, are a waste of money, we report. They broke. 2010. Treadmills are so popular that they command more than 50% of the home workout market. Many we test, like the Sole F63 above, fold and have some new features such as MP3 docks. And in 2019, ellipticals have had a long way since they first appeared in the 90s. Today there are many great affordable models, such as the CR Best Buy above, which is the Schwinn 470 elliptical, which scored a high 73. Robotic vacuum. It's easy to see the appeal of robotic vacuums. They do the grunge work while you do something more interesting, and they're smarter than ever before. Many can find their way out of tight spots and around extension cords, and few of the newest models can even be controlled by a smartphone app or with voice commands given to compatible virtual assistants such as Amazon's Alexa or the Google Assistant. But the LG HomeBot vacuum has scooted even further into the future of smart hovering. In home guard mode, it uses a built-in camera with motion sensor detection technology to automatically detect movement within its view and capture images to store them in a smartphone app. The app also lets you view a live camera feed, but does not store the footage. Though some may find this feature useful, perhaps to check on the cat or to see whether a child picked up his or her room, others may find it superfluous or even a privacy concern. Users who don't like having a watch vacuum can deactivate the camera. When it comes to just cleaning, the HomeBot aced all of our tests, says Susan Booth, who oversees vacuum testing at CR. It speedily picks up debris from both carpets and bare floors, adjusting the suction according to the floor type it encounters. Its low profile easily fits under furniture, and an extended runtime, about 90 minutes, allows it to cover many areas multiple times. Plus, the app allows you to schedule cleaning, and its cleaning job, and even apps where it's already gone. LG also claims that the HomeBot's learning mode memorizes the location of obstacles to avoid, although we did not test this feature. A few caveats. Though it's quiet, it made a few odd noises and bumped into our test furniture with such force that it moved the furniture slightly out of place. And robotic vacuums are not meant for deep cleaning, so it won't replace a full-size vacuum. Oh, by the way, it costs $999. Now here's an interesting piece. Who owns which car brands? These days it can feel like you need a scorecard to keep track of who owns which automobile brand. To help clear up some of the confusion, we created a clear roadmap for you. You'll see major parent companies and the car branch they sell to the U.S., along with our exclusive brand overall scores, which are based on CR's vehicle testing as well as reliability and owner satisfaction surveys on more than 640,000 cars. In order to receive a rating, a brand must have at least two current models that have been tested by CR. Not included here are retired brands such as Scion and Saturn, and small volume or exotic brands such as Aston Martin and Ferrari, oh darn, that don't sell that many cars in the U.S. Oh, come on, let's at least do Ferrari, come on. The BMW Group. The brand is both BMW and the Mini. The Daimler AG is the Mercedes-Benz. The Fiat Chrysler automobiles are the Alfa Romeo, the Chrysler, the Dodge, the Fiat, the Jeep, the Maserati, and the Ram. And I'm just noticing the ratings performance-wise. The BMW groups are all in the green with fairly high ratings, anywhere from about 75 for the BMW to about 70 for the Mini. The Mercedes-Benz has a little less than the Mini, probably 72. And the Chrysler, the only one in the green is the Chrysler itself. The Alfa Romeo, the Dodge, the Fiat are all in not very high ratings. The Ford Motor Company does both Ford and Lincoln, and both of those have fairly good ratings. General Motors, Buick, Cadillac, Chevrolet, and GMC. GMC does not get very good ratings. Buick, Cadillac, and Chevrolet do. Honda Motor Company, the Acura and Honda, and they're both in the green as well. The Hyundai Motor Group, actually, the Genesis, Hyundai Genesis has an extremely high rating, the highest of the bunch almost. And it also does Genesis, Hyundai, and Kia. Mazda Motor Corporation does just Mazda, and it's got a fairly high green rating as well. Renault, Nissan, Mitsubishi Alliance does Infiniti, Mitsubishi, and Nissan. Mitsubishi does not have a very good fact. It's about the lowest I see on this list here. The other two are fairly high rated. Subaru Corporation does the Subaru, and it's the highest rating of all. Well, not the highest rating, but it's very close to being the highest rating. Tata Motors is the Jaguar and the Land Rover, and both of those don't get good ratings at all. Tesla has the Tesla, and that gets very high ratings. The Toyota Motor Corporation has the Lexus, which gets a very, very high rating, and the Toyota, which gets a high rating. The Volkswagen Group is the Audi, which has a very high, almost a perfect rating. And then the Volkswagen itself, which gets a good rating, but the best of all ratings is the Porsche. It actually is far and above all the rest of them. The Zhejiang Geely Holding Group does the Volvo. Gee, I didn't know that. Huh, that's interesting. It gets a really not good rating at all. And while we pass the new year, this is what 100 calories looks like. Whether you're going to a party or staying in the on the couch, it's easy to munch mindlessly while waiting for the ball to drop. If you're going to splurge on a little champagne, it's a smart idea to nibble on healthier fare, says Amy Keating, registered dietitian and a CR registered dietitian. 5 ounces of Pierre Jouet Grand Brut Champagne is 100 calories. 2 pieces of Whole Foods Vegetable Pot Stickers are 100 calories. 2.5 cups of Angie's Boom Chicka Pop Sea Salt Popcorn Whole Grain, 100 calories. 23 pieces of baby carrots are 100 calories. And 1 ounce of Gorgonzola cheese is 100 calories. How to clean practically anything. The dog bed. Removing pet hair from your home can be a hairy chore. But resist the temptation to throw your dog's butt straight into the washer, advises Richard Handale, who oversees the testing of washers and dryers at CR. Wet pet hair clumps could stick to the washer drum or clog the drain pump or your home's waste system piping. Hair removal. A vacuum, lint brush, or sticky tape should work well to remove extra fur from your pet's bed before loading into the washer. But Handale knows another cost-effective way. Don a pair of dishwashing gloves, then lightly dampen them with plain water, he says. Wipe your gloved hands across the fabric to pick up the hairs. Bed washing. Check the label to see whether you can load the entire bed in the washer or just the cover. Use a heavy soil setting with an extra rinse cycle to loosen stubborn hairs. Hot water helps kill any insects and eggs that may be on the bed. Bed drying. Use your dryer, if the bed will fit. A dryer sheet helps reduce static and remove remaining hair. Check the dryer's lint filled midway through the cycle because a full filter can block vent airflow. If you air dry, put it in a well-ventilated area to prevent mildew and mold. Finishing touches. To remove pet hairs from your washer, wipe a damp paper towel around the drum or allow the washer drum to air dry, then use the brush attachment on your vacuum. CR's Money Saver Hotel Discounts. Planning a New Year's trip? You may have a tough finding hotel discounts. 2 companies, Expedia and Booking Holdings, formerly Priceline, currently control 95% of third-party online hotel booking sites. Consumers Checkbook recently collected more than 3,500 hotel rates from 18 travel and hotel websites and found that several sites offered the exact same rates more than 90% of the time. Many only looked like deals by displaying a crossed-out price next to a much lower special offer, even though the original crossed-out price was not reflective of prevailing rates. Some sites also issue warnings like only 2 rooms left or 19 other travelers are booking for this deal to create a sense of urgency. But there's no rush. In fact, Consumers Checkbook found that these deals were still available later on, and as most scenarios, prices actually go down the longer you wait. Face-off. Countertops. Stumped by which stone is best for your kitchen? Both quartz and engineered stone and natural granite cost about the same per square foot, $20 to $60, and perform equally well in many of CR's extensive tests, including cutting, abrasion, and heat resistance. But our experts say that this rocky debate continues down to two main things, stain resistance and aesthetics. The results of our staining test are heavily weighted in our countertop rating, says Chris Reagan, the project leader on CR's countertop testing. And even though both stones are very good at resisting stains, quartz fared a bit better against tough ones such as beef juice and food coloring, putting it just a few points ahead, he says. And you need to periodically seal granite to maintain its stain resistance, which quartz doesn't need. Because it's manufactured, quartz has a more uniform look than granite patterned slabs. That makes quartz more predictable for installers to work with. But some homeowners prefer the unique and natural signature of granite. Still remember that neither stone is indestructible. If you're not careful, say you hit the edge too hard by dropping a heavy pot on it, either material can trip, Reagan says. And they have a picture here of quartz, which is light-colored, and granite, which is a darker color in this case. They both do very well on stains. They both do very well for cutting and heat and abrasion, and they both are not very good for impact. In our labs, countertop materials undergo attacks from steak knives, scalding hot saucepans, and even sandpaper to see which materials are toughest. First, our testers attach two sharpened steak knives to a specially made slicing rig that hits the countertop at 25 slices a cycle. Then the slabs must bear a weighted 400-degree Fahrenheit saucepan full of heat and shortening, without showing burn marks or surface distortions. In our abrasion test, countertops must face 25 back-and-forth strokes of 100-grit sandpaper. To judge stain resistance, we pipe a half-inch splotches of offenders, such as hot vegetable oil, hot coffee, and grape juice, onto each surface and record any effects after 20 hours. In our impact test, we also drop blunt and pointed weights on them. Boy, they beat them up pretty bad. January is the best time to buy ellipticals. Stores often offer deep discounts on these and other fitness equipment. And bedding. Keep an eye out for good prices on sheets and pillows during the white sales this month. And humidifiers. Used mainly in colder weather, you may start to see discounts on humidifiers toward the end of the month. Now we get to recalls. Ford automobiles. Ford is recalling about 1.3 million 2012 to 2018 Focus vehicles equipped with 2.0-liter GDI and 2.0-liter GTDI engines due to a malfunctioning canister purge valve that could result in the car stalling while driving and then the inability to restart the vehicle. What to do? Contact your local Ford dealer who will reprogram the powertrain control module and inspect and replace relevant parts as necessary. Until the work is complete, you should maintain at least a half a tank of fuel in your gas tank at all times. Call Ford at 1-800-392-3673 or go to CopertFord.com for details. FlushMate Toilet Systems. FlushMate is recalling about 1.4 million FlushMate 2-401B pressure-assisted flushing system installed inside of toilet tanks because they could burst and release stored pressure. The pressure can lift the tank lid and shatter the tank. The systems were sold at stores nationwide online from September 1996 through December 2015 for about $108. What to do? Stop using the system, turn off the water supply of the unit, and flush the toilet to release internal pressure. For recalled model numbers and to get a free installed replacement, go to flushmate.com or call 844-621-7538. Solar-powered lighting. Cooper Lighting is recalling about 350,000 All-Pro and Defiant solar-powered outdoor LED light fixtures because the batteries can overheat and cause the housing to melt, posing a fire hazard. The fixtures were sold at Home Depot, Lowe's, and other stores from September 2015 through July 2018 for about $70 to $100. What to do? Stop using the light and call Cooper Lighting at 866-461-7819 or go to CooperLighting.com for more details on how to get a free replacement battery pack. hammer drills. Black & Decker is recalling about 641,000 Black & Decker Bostitch and Porter Cable hammer drills and drill drivers because the side handle sold with them can slip or break, leading to loss of control and posing an injury hazard. The tools will store at stores nationwide and online from January 2010 through July 2018 for $50 to $100. What to do? Stop using the drill and call 888-284-3070 or go to each brand website for specific model numbers. You'll receive a free replacement side handle. Wireless speakers. Brookstone is recalling about 164,000 wireless speakers because the lithium-ion batteries inside can overheat and catch fire. The speakers were sold at stores nationwide and online for December 2013 through August 2018 for about $200. What to do? Stop using the speakers and throw away the lithium-ion battery pack following your trash regulations because Brookstone has filed for bankruptcy. A full refund may not be possible, and no replacements will be issued. For more information, call 866-567-3337 or go on to Omni Management, OMNIMGMT.com, Bookstore Recall FAA. Yamaha Golf Carts. Yamaha is recalling about 140,000 golf carts, personal transportation, and specialty vehicles because of accelerator pedal return spring and brake, posing a crash hazard. The vehicles were sold at Yamaha dealers from June 15, 2015 through August 18 for $5,500 to $12,300. What to do? Stop using the vehicle and contact a Yamaha golf cart dealer for a free repair. Call Yamaha at 866-747-4027 or go to yamahagolfcar.com for more details. And top freezer fridges. Hare is recalling 137,000 top freezer refrigerators because an electrical component short-circuited and posed a fire hazard. The fridges were sold at Lowe's and other stores nationwide from September 2014 to September 2018. What to do? Unplug the fridge and call Hare at 888-364-2989. And with that, we've run out of time for today's broadcast of Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. We would like to thank all of our past sponsors for their generous contributions to the Reading Service. If you have any comments or questions or would like to be a sponsor, please call us at 919-832-5138. So long until next time, and thanks so much for listening.